unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million-dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios of TalkZone.com, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. Randall and Jim are ready to take your toll-free calls from anywhere in North America at 1-888-463-6748 and world listeners at 011-847-470-0937 from anywhere around the globe. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. We've been on a brief hiatus. Jim was indicted by the... Oh, no, he was serving on a grand jury here in the wonderful state of New York City. New York and in the city of Rochester. What district? Is that a district?
No, it's their county. County Monroe.
The county of Monroe. And that's a whole month.
It's 4 weeks.
4 weeks, yep. And so that's where we have been, and you folks have been patiently listening to the best of, which we think is kind of an oxymoron, if you can find that. Anyway, welcome to the show. My partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of Rochester's top trial attorneys, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the president and CEO of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, serving 12,000 people with this disease in 50 counties across upstate New York.
Now, each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and the complexity out of our legal system
and inject some common sense and a sense of humor back in.
Now, if you have common sense and or a sense of humor, please, and a question, please give us a call. We're here live today. This is the live broadcast of Lawyers Who Needs Them. And you can reach us anytime during the program at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Our engineer and producer, Randy Meyer, will take good care of you. He's an absolute top-notch expert at this, and he will gently get your question to us so we can bungle it with an answer. And world listeners, if you're somewhere out there in the world today and enjoying the freezing cold weather in the Northeast, by the way, our brothers in Maine to the northeast of us got almost 2 feet of snow today, so they're probably sitting at home around the computer listening to the show. If you have a question, because Maine is really kind of another planet, you dial us at 011-847-470-0937. That's 011-847-470-0937. And that's anywhere from around the globe. So in the United States, it's 1-888-463-6748. Outside, you have that other long number, which I'm sure you wrote down. Now, if you have a question for us, you can call in and leave that question, or you can click on the Talk Zone question button and put your question in writing to us if you wish to remain incognito. And finally, if you wish to remain completely anonymous to anyone, you can go to the official website of Lawyers Who Needs Them at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com, and you can put your question there, and we'll answer it next week. So, I'm out of breath.
You ought to be.
Without any further ado.
I wondered if we're going to have a program. We're going to listen to you get yourself out of breath.
I tell you, at this, we've got to work on cutting this introduction down. Next week,
well,
we're going to leave
the
out.
Numbers. The numbers are very long.
That's true.
Particularly the one for Zimbabwe. That 0011 with this and that and the
right.
other thing.
It's
my God, by the time you get to the end of the number, the guy's asleep. He doesn't even know.
That's
what,
right. Well, what happened is the
it's kind of like painting the George Washington Bridge. You start at one end. By the time you get to the other, you start all over.
Start back again, right. Well, that's called guaranteed employment.
That's right.
Okay,
so anyway,
well, are you ready?
I am.
So without any further ado,
I do.
Let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Now, here is there are a lot of questions about the present administration's plan to save the country economically.
Right.
But one which is now prevalent is, can the president, in his attempt to fix these mortgages, actually change existing contracts, and whose contracts is he changing?
Well, that's a good question, because years ago, back in the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they had mortgage moratorium.
We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yes, I know. But beside that very poor imitation of the the long deceased FDR, who, if he heard that, would have been probably, maybe he may jump out of his grave on that one. But at any rate, they had a mortgage moratorium, stuff like that. What they did back then, as I recall, you imagine. How am I going to recall? I'm recalling from history books. Even I'm not that old, but I am.
No, you're pretty old.
As I recall, they waived the interest. They waived the amortization in mortgages.
Uh-huh.
And you had to pay the interest. Now, with this business of amending the terms of the mortgage, changing the terms of the mortgage, I think you're running some constitutional problems. Of course, we don't know what they have in mind yet because they just got this thing passed, or they're getting it passed. And what we're going to do with these mortgages is another thing. What the banks, no bank wants to foreclose. They don't want to have, they don't want to own a lot of real property because they're really in the business of lending money and making money on it. So they probably will voluntarily be willing to modify the mortgages so that they don't have to be the custodians of hundreds and thousands of homes. And business and commercial
properties.
Well,
that's the problem. They get stuck with all that stuff.
Well, yeah. So if they were willing to do it, of course, that would not interfere with any protections that they have themselves against modification by a third party. The thing is that they might be willing to reduce the terms. Well, for instance, let's say you have a 20-year mortgage and you can't afford the payments. Maybe they would make it a 30-year mortgage but pay a... On the basis of that, maybe with a balloon at the end or something like that, and then you refinance. That can be done, and if they're willing to do it. But I don't know that you can, although they have in the bankruptcy system, I always thought it was unconstitutional. I mean, you take a contract made between two people, and after it's been made and in existence, the government comes in and says, we're going to change the terms. Because, first of all, the federal government can't pass, as we know, any ex post facto law.
Which means ex post facto, after the fact.
Right. And it specifically says regarding states that the states cannot pass any ex post facto law or law impairing the obligations of contracts. So if the banks say, I don't want to modify it, of course they can say if we're going to give you money to bail you out,
you better modify it.
Then you have to be willing to modify it. But that's a condition of that. That can be done. So it's in a very confused state right now, and we don't really know what's going to be done.
Well,
who's to blame for all this? Everybody. The borrowers who couldn't afford to make the loans, the lenders who should have known better. There's a whole bunch of people.
Yes,
but
Christopher
at any rate,
Dodd and Bertie Frank.
Well, those
they
well,
seem to have skated
well
without any problem.
I never could cotton to Barney Frank, not for the reason a lot of people say, but he's sort of a blabbermouth. And he was the guy who was very insistent upon banks to desist from their red line. They called it red line, which means they wouldn't lend to certain people. And he said it was because of ethnicity.
Right.
They, of course, had the position that if you can't pay it back, we don't want to lend it to you.
Yeah, they don't pass
so
the test.
So he compelled them to make money to subprime people.
Right.
Whether that's a cause of this, I don't know.
Yeah, that's part of the subprime
But he's
problem.
The one running around now to save the banks and save this and save that.
Right.
He'd do us a big favor if he'd save us from him and not run again.
Well, that would be
too
good to be
Dodd's
true.
Dodd's another, got into this, give everybody a mortgage and everybody to become a homeowner, and that's not the way it's always going to work out. However, I will say, since this is lawyers who need them, a lot of people are going to need them. You're going to fight this, but the main thing is that the lawyers, a lot of them, make a fortune on these foreclosures. They do the foreclosing for the banks. And there are literally thousands of foreclosures in process right now.
I will tell you this.
And
go ahead. Finish what you're saying, and I have a comment on that comment.
Okay. Well, you have a comment and a comment. So let me first make the next comment.
Go ahead.
And then you can comment on the next comment,
okay.
And we'll work our comments on the comments back in through all of the comments. All right?
Yes.
Comments. Where was I? Which comment was I on? Oh, so the banks... The lawyers will be very busy, representing banks foreclosing, and they'll be getting appointments as foreclosure referees in our state. That gets you a couple of dollars that they pay.
Yep.
So some guy will be appointed by the court. That'll be political.
And he gets that cool shirt with the stripes.
Well, yeah. So that's no. That's a referee in a football game.
Oh.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how we get out of this.
Yeah, well, it will be.
They have found, I might say, that the renegotiated mortgages, the default rate is just as high. They're defaulting after the mortgage has been rearranged. So it's a sad situation.
Well, that tells you something. That tells you that the fundamental principle and underpinnings and foundation of what the mortgage was based on stunk and still stinks.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And the bottom line of it is, if you don't have a job and you don't have any money, it's very hard to buy a house.
Absolutely.
Only in America can you have the American dream of owning a home without a job, without any money, and no source of income whatsoever. But you, sir, should be entitled to the American dream without having to do anything to have the dream. Now, my comment. The lawyers are so busy that I have a firm, and I'm not going to tell you the city of one of our offices, that is renting space from us to do the foreclosures.
Yeah, but on the other hand, let's face facts that a lot of the law firms are laying off people. The
big that's
firms
the other side of it.
Are laying them off.
Yes.
And so, you know.
Well, they can't pay.
What do they say? One man's meat's another guy's poison, or vice versa. One man's poison, another meat. But the lawyer carnivores are going to have a heyday if they're in foreclosure.
All right, well, let's speak to the next topic here, because this fellow, to me, is such an interesting character. He reminds me of a Dickens character, of which I can't remember the specific one, but Roland Burris, okay? I like to think of it as Roland Burris' last stand.
Well,
it's the Alamo for Roland Burris, but the question to you, James, is, will he survive?
Well, you know, it's a crazy thing, but he's the fellow, by the way, who was appointed to represent the great sovereign state of Illinois. And he was appointed by Blagojevich, that is Rod Blagojevich. The former governor, before his impeachment. And he was impeached and bounced out by the Illinois state legislature. Now, Roland W. Burris was appointed by him because Roland, I guess his friends call him Raleigh, but Roland said, I had nothing, I didn't ask to pay off anybody, I didn't get involved in any payoffs to get appointed senator. I had nothing to do with raising any money.
That's right.
Or my friend Rod Blagojevich. However, I did sign an affidavit to the contrary.
Oh.
Isn't that funny? And that's a sworn statement. And right now, the Illinois House Committee, where Mr. Burris testified against before the Illinois House Committee, recommending that Mr. Blagojevich, that was the
right.
That recommended Mr. Blagojevich's impeachment, and he then said he had contacted Blagojevich's aides, and had not contacted the aides. Boy, I'm getting double-tongued here.
Yes, you are.
Contacted Blagojevich's aides or offered anything in return for the Senate seat. However, as I said, in a released an affidavit saying that he had spoken to several Blagojevich advisors, including the governor's brother and a finance chairman, who Mr. Burris said called three times last fall asking for fundraising help. So now Mr. Burris is sort of involved.
So the real question is here.
What the point? Yeah. What's the real question?
The question is, what is the truth?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Now, that's the problem with people
in Chicago. The whole state of Illinois can't handle the truth. They don't know what the truth is.
You know, the funny part of this is, and our engineer pointed this out, Burris's voice, he sounds just like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah, well, you're dealing with, I mean, that's a whole thing out there. I don't think they're going to give him any, I don't think they're going to give him any, too much of a responsibility in the Senate. Like, they're not going to make him chairman of any committee, because I don't think the guy can read English.
Well,
but let's see, however, if he, they're asking him to resign. In fact, the current governor, Pat Quinn, I think his
right.
name is, who took over from Blagojevich.
He's asking to resign,
tough,
too.
Got a guy with a name you can pronounce.
Yes.
He, who is a fellow Democrat,
right.
is asking Burris to resign.
Well, I think they
by
know
saying, Mr. Burris, you're another disgrace
exactly.
to the state of Illinois.
You know, I mean, at some point, someone's got to stand up there and say, give me a break.
Right.
All right. Well, let's see what else is going on around the world today. And this is, again, this is part of the same problem as we talked here before. What can people do about this excessive arrogance now by cabinet members who don't pay their taxes, or these bums on Wall Street who have mismanaged their businesses?
Well, there are remedies.
What are they? Besides throwing them out. This guy doesn't pay his taxes.
Did you say what are they? Did you ask me what are they?
But I want to just make
a
comment.
Then you start to make a whole speech.
Well, let me finish my half a speech.
I first got to answer them.
Don't we have a Secretary of the Treasury who didn't pay his taxes?
Well, he finally paid them after they caught him. Just like me. Like every other good, clean, red-blooded American.
All right.
You don't pay your taxes. Not in this country. Anyway, he missed maybe $30,000-$40,000 in taxes.
That's
I don't know
deal.
The amount, but he made it up. It was wrong. They still made him Secretary of the Treasury.
Yes.
Because apparently he can count everybody else's money, but can't count his own.
That's not a problem.
It's a problem, but he's there.
Right.
Then comes along Daschle. They're going to make him the head of Health and Human Services.
Which he should be.
And all of a sudden they find that he owes Uncle Samuel $140,000 in taxes.
Small decimal mistake.
Well, how come I just went through an audit with the IRS for 2 years, and they took some money from me? We had a little difference. It wasn't anything. We had a difference on whether these were deductions I could take.
Right.
And also which schedules I could take them on.
And that's different from not paying your taxes.
Yeah, that's right. And how come they don't tap into him? Don't they know he's there?
They got all his records.
Wait a second. We got a guy here who's got all this money, and he's not paying taxes. But he had to say, no, I can't become the secretary of – I think President Obama whispered to him and said, look, Daschle, Tom, get out of here, you bum. So then there was – remember that also that – what's his name? Richardson, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. What happened to him?
Who was going to be Secretary of Commerce.
Yeah.
And he withdrew because there were some little corruption matters in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Well, because it's in the far west doesn't mean it's too far for corruption.
No.
They're close enough to Illinois –
New Mexico has that famous Area 51, and there's a lot of aliens there. So it's a possibility that they discovered in his background check that Richardson is actually an alien.
Yes, here he is. He's from Venus. It's very hot on me. It's close to the sun.
Yes.
And then you had Nancy Killefer. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Who was President Obama's nominee to be the chief performance officer.
I love that. She must be the dancer.
Well, I don't know what the performance is, whether it's a, topless performance or...
He was topless. She didn't have a head.
She's a magician. But at least the way she was a magician, because she made some tax money disappear. And there was a lien. She had a lien of almost $1,000 on her property in 2005. For failure to pay taxes. So, at any rate, I can't believe it. And this is the change we need.
Oh, yeah.
That's the change we're going to get. And I'm not blaming President Obama by any means, please. How does he know? These people all come around and say, geez, I'm as clean as a whistle. I'm as pure as the driven snow. But I drifted. A little bit. So, what are you going to do?
I can tell you, his first few weeks have been exciting. And I think what we're starting to see here is that you can fool Hollywood, but you can't fool the world. And with that, we're going to take a short intermission. And when we come back, the elephants, elephants will be suing.
Right.
When we return, you're listening to my friend Jim Hartman and the whole crazy crew here at Lawyers Who Needs Them live on TalkZone.com.